Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, there's an urgent need to improve the provision of acute mental health services at hospital emergency departments, a new report has said. Now, this report from the Inspector of Mental Health Services showed many facilities do not have adequate staff or resources to meet that demand. To discuss this now, I'm joined by the Chief Executive of the Mental Health Commission, John Farrelly, and Fine Gael Senator Eoin Ní Chulainn. You're both very welcome to the programme. John, I might turn to you first of all. You might remind people of the main findings from this analysis, because Professor Jim Lucy outlined on Morning Ireland that there simply isn't a dedicated acute emergency service available after hours, after working hours in many hospitals.
Yeah, so the inspector surveyed the 35 emergency department sites across Ireland. And what we find from the report is we know that about 51,000 people per year access mental health services for the first time through A&E and medical wards. And that in itself points to something. We can see that the big hospitals, Dublin, Waterford, Galway, Cork, Limerick, they're seeing thousands of presentations compared to only hundreds in the smaller, in the other 20-odd hospitals. And people are travelling long distances for urgent mental health care. And unfortunately, what we're finding is that after outside of office hours, so starting now until whenever Tuesday morning or whatever, the services just aren't there. Mm-hmm. It's mainly a 9-to-5 service. So the substantial delays outside of office hours. And we see a lack of space in areas as well. But I suppose the most disturbing for me is the children facing prolonged and inappropriate waits. So they're the main things. But I just want to say, Cormac, like, we're getting this from the people who work in the services, the managers and the owners, because we would have received concerns from the public. We've been watching what's been happening, you know, if you think of the trolley counts, what's been happening down in Limerick, etc. And so we decided we'd go direct to the people, the inspector, and find out what's going on. Okay. And this is what we're seeing.
Can I say to you what the HSE said to us in a statement? They said, in general, emergency departments prioritise and treat the most unwell patients and those with life-threatening illnesses first. For people presenting at ED, when in crisis, following self-harm or with suicidal ideation, all such presentations will follow the emergency care pathway. The Mental Health Commission report, they say, also highlights the need for timely access to CAMHS at all times for children attending the ED with a mental health crisis, and a key focus of the 24 to 27 Child and Youth Mental Health Health Action Plan is the development of Child and Youth Integrated Crisis Response Pathway, including the development of CAMHS liaison services nationally that will allow young people experiencing a mental health crisis access to care 24/7. What do you make of that, John? I think John's line dropped there, did it? We might try and get John back up in on the line. But if for the moment, I'll turn to Eoin Ní Chulainn, who's a Fine Gael senator. Fáilte Eoin Ní Chulainn, you're very welcome in on this conversation as well, because you say when you took up the appointment as a senator that mental health and improving mental health services was a key priority of yours. But what do you make of the finding that there isn't a dedicated acute emergency service available after working hours?
Gurmagas Cormac, that's very kind to yeah, well, first of all, I welcome the report. And I think I'm probably, like a lot of people, on the same page as John Farrelly, and hopefully you will get him back, because I'm really interested to hear, you know, where we can go on this. But the out of hours thing is probably one problem, and it's probably one part of a bigger problem. I would question whether or not EDs are the place for people to be presenting in the first place, and I know they're only going there because they're in crisis and they feel like they have nowhere else to go. But people who are having a mental health crisis and who are at breaking point are only going there as a last resort. And unfortunately, if you're going in there in that kind of a state, you are, the worst thing that you can do is to feel also like an inconvenience on top of everything else. Yeah. I feel like if we had a better structure around how we treat people in public health clinics and in our communities, then they would have a safe place to go when they're not in crisis, so that when they are in crisis, they'll go back to those places instead of going into busy EDs.
You're probably right, but until then, you need the service to be there after working hours, surely.
Yeah, of course you do. And that is that's an absolute problem. That's an absolute failing. And this is one of the reasons that I, Cormac, have come into politics, and I've been calling for better mental health services for young people and, you know, adults as well.
Is that a priority, do you know, of government? If you say it is a failing, that it be changed, mm-hmm. that the service be there after working hours?
Well, I know that Jennifer Carroll McNeill has made it a priority of hers to deal with all of the problems in the out of hours. And she's already tackling the issue around trolley counts and consultants working on weekends. And I know that mental health is a big one for her as well. I've spoken to her advisors, and I've also I look forward to speaking to Minister Butler, because there's something I want to raise about dual diagnosis and people who are dealing with addiction and also a mental health problem.
But in terms
they
of
feel like they
hours,
have nowhere to go.
Yeah, and they don't have anywhere to go after hours if they present at ED. If they present at ED hospitals with a mental health crisis, there isn't a service there. Is it the aim of government to have the service there?
I think it is the aim of government to find a solution to this. I want to say as well that I know that staff are under pressure in these hospitals, so I don't want it to sound like I'm having a go at the healthcare practitioners that are doing their best in EDs. I know that the HSE have said that they want to, you know, help everybody that comes in, but that emergency cases will take precedence. And mm-hmm. these are all things that we can all understand in terms of common sense. But if we zoom out a little bit, maybe it's not that hard to think about a new model. We have public health clinics. We have public health nurses. We have psychiatric nurses in community settings. I've spoken to some of them who actually want to do these jobs and to treat people with dual diagnosis and have the speciality training for it. We now have to step up and provide the funding, and that's something that I have spoken to Jennifer about.
The problem is, I suppose, we've had mental health strategies in this country before. Let's say in your new party, Fine Gael, in they've been in power since 2011, and some would say that they haven't been implemented, which is why we're at this juncture. How would you respond to that?
Well, that's part of the reason that I come into politics, Cormac. I'm going to say it again. Like, I feel really strongly about some of the gaps. And I have to say that I am being listened to, and so are others who have raised these issues in the last, you know, few months. So I do believe that is a priority for the government. I think Simon Harris has come out on it as well. And he was quite clear when he was in charge of higher education, he put more money into even mental health services for people in third level education, because, again, people are stressed. So I do think that it is a priority. Yeah. And again, I would be interested to see what John Farley has to say on where we can go next.
If you think that you're being listened to, John, what needs to happen, do you think, to improve the service?
Well, first of all, we need to understand that the HSE are accountable here. So the HSE board and senior management are accountable here. And because we need to be clear that the HSE run the emergency departments, they also run the inpatient mental health services, and they also run the community mental health services. So the only entity in this country that can join the dots and make sure that there's a clear pathway for people is the HSE, its board and its senior management. We briefed the HSE, the inspector did, on February the 7th. The final report was sent to them on February the 7th. Now we briefed them. The final report was sent to them 3 weeks ago. And I personally wrote to the HSE CEO on Monday. So what we were saying and what we've said to the HSE, and just to be clear, Cormac, mm-hmm. we cannot tell the HSE what to do. We have no regulatory powers. The inspector is there. He's required in law to report on what he finds. But while we can make changes in inpatients, we can't do it for these services. So just to say, what we're saying is, first and foremost, as the ministers are saying, the HSE need to make sure sufficient senior clinicians are on site in A&E 24/7 in relation to mental health. They need to review their governance to ensure that an integrated client pathway is there between all the services that they run. And then they need to implement their own clinical program for self-harm and suicide-related ideation. If they did that, that program, their own program document states, timely access to CAMHS at all times for children attending the ED. Mm. That's not the regulator. That's not the minister. That's the HSE.
That's themselves. Am I right in saying that this is not a new problem, John?
Well, I tell you, I've been in mental health nursing for a long time. And when the first strategy came out, when we were closing down the institutions, A&E was only mentioned once, and it was in relation to eating disorders. So we know now, we know we're going to build the services. Look, you can tell the drive is there for that. In the interim, we need to make sure the HSE are working well. And Ivan makes a really good point. In that strategy, it also says mental health clinical nurse specialists should be on site 24/7. Where you have nurses on site, you know there's lower levels that they're able to cope with many of the issues. Mm-hmm. This would cost, for example, 10 million, as little for 24/7 service across 35 sites. Now, you must remember that there's county hospitals with lots of people, level three hospitals all over the country. And so you don't need people traveling into the major cities. That alone would help address the issue. Now, that's I didn't get the full HSE response. I mean, I'm still waiting for a formal response from the HSE. So it's good for them to speak. Cormac, you must have more.
I know your line dropped in fairness to you. They were just saying that they prioritise unwell patients and those with life-threatening illnesses first. And when you present at an ED when in crisis following self-harm or with suicidal ideation, all such presentations will follow the emergency care pathway. And they also mentioned the Mental Health Commission report highlighting the need for timely access to CAMHS for children and so on. And they outlined some of the improvements there. I don't know. Are you saying that they're not listening to what you're telling them, John?
Well, first of all, we don't have any power to, if this was an inpatient services, we have power to do something. So it would be nice to have the powers to regulate, to make sure that not alone are we listening and we're working together, but at the same time, we can act in the public interest. So I'm not saying they're not listening, but repeating what you're good at doesn't solve the problems that real people in real time are having right now. Mm-hmm. So it really is a case of, and just to emphasize it, we as a country have accepted that we need to reform the HSE. The government, through Sláinte Care and Sharing the Vision, are reforming the HSE. We're putting in place regionals so that there's integration. So I suppose what I'm saying is that we will support that, and this report is aiming to support that. And I suppose the things that we're saying right there to distribute things locally and to make sure that things are integrated, and the CAMHS one particularly.
Yeah.
I mean, the HSE runs CAMHS. So the HSE will, this weekend, I, for example, are we going to get assurances that children won't be waiting days? And I'll tell you why, Cormac. Because the people in the A&E are dependent on the CAMHS people who also work for the HSE to come in and see these children. So someone somewhere is running this service and just needs to make sure that it's integrated.
Well, do you know, if somebody has a mental health crisis, Ivan, and John made the point in his very initial answer, if you have a mental health crisis now and you want to present at an ED, you won't have a service available to you, it seems, between now and next Tuesday.
Cormac, you're not wrong, and neither is John, but both of you have now said that this is not a new problem, and it's not. So whatever is there is not working. So John is right in saying that we need to look at it in a broader way, look at it possibly in the communities. To bring it back for a second, I lost a brother to suicide 12 years ago. He would have presented to EDs. He would have presented to various mental health institutions. He would have presented to various hospitals. And he was failed. And he was failed by a system that didn't exist. I think it is positive we're having this conversation. I think it's positive Mental Health Commission has brought out this report and that John is speaking so eloquently about what can be done and what should be done. Because 10, 12 years ago, we weren't even talking about it, let alone trying to find solutions. Unfortunately, if my brother, who's also called Cormac, was still here today, we wouldn't be able to save him still. So no, we're not getting far enough down the road, in my view. And I do think that we need to, yes, absolutely put pressure on the HSE and try and find a workaround for these people, because it's not, unfortunately, at the moment, it's getting worse.
Can I say to you that we have been talking about this for a long time, and I remember doing a late debate programme. It is probably 10 years ago or more now, where one TD who was in government and it was coming up to election time said, I hang my head in shame when it was pointed out that the budget allocated for mental health was not spent. So there have been deficiencies in the mental health service for an awful long time.
Okay.
And the lack of investment hasn't been improved in so many, so for so many years. So my question to you is, you say you're being listened to now. Mm-hmm. How will you judge success or not?
Okay, well, since 2020, the mental health service funding has increased by over 44%. So that's definitely a positive. Total allocation for us for 25 is 1.5 billion. Okay, so what do we do with that money? I think we need to zoom out and think about where we spend it and how we allocate it and make sure there's no wastage. There are people who want to do these roles. John knows nurses. He knows the people who are in these roles and who want to do them and who want to help people. I just think, yes, I understand 10 years ago, you know, TDs or whoever, I don't know who you're talking about hanging their head in shame. I would agree that 10 years ago we weren't listening to people and we weren't having these conversations. And that's why the money wasn't being spent. If a budget was not even being used, that's criminal. That's awful that didn't happen for those people. I do think that there is more investment, but crucially, there is more care, there's more empathy. And there are certainly people in government and in the Oireachtas who want to make
it happen. Care and empathy is one thing, but having a service open is another thing. What needs to happen? What is the first thing that needs to happen to improve the situation, John, finally?
Well, for me, the HSE are accountable. The HSE have a board and a senior management. They're the people that need to be setting out what needs to happen. But for us, it's looking at the governance, making sure that all the resources of the HSE are directed. And Cormac, can I just reinforce, we have a chief executive of the HSE who's determined to integrate the services. We have new regions who are determined to integrate. And we've I think, 26 integrated healthcare managers. What I'm saying as CEO of the Mental Health Commission is to make sure that mental health, which is really, really important, is integrated into that, and that people aren't left waiting, and that we can move it away from emergency departments back into the community locally where people get their services.
Well, thank you both for joining us. John Farrelly, Chief Executive of the Mental Health Commission, and Fine Gael Senator Eoin Ní Chuilín, thank you as well. If you've been affected by this conversation in any way, there is help available at rte.ie/helplines.